We are all living on the wings of love. The wings of love uplift us, they inflate us, they give us what we are. And so what showed up as the wings of love came through me was this title, Can Your Love Ailerons Take the Pressure? We'll get to that in a moment. And I know you're all thinking, what the heck is she talking about? Unless you're a pilot. However, I do like to start out with a little giggle, a little joke, because I don't know about you, but in my spiritual practices and in my enlightenment, sometimes I get a little serious. I get like, okay, did I pray? Did I journal? Did I meditate? Did I have my conversations with spirit? However, I like to remember that then there's that part of spirit that is laughter and humor and joy and glee. So there were two little boys, and these boys were pretty mischievous boys, and I am not being sexist. It could be girls too, okay? Two mischievous children. Okay, and they went to church with their mother regularly, and then one Sunday, the minister said, I'd like to speak to each one of these children, okay? They went to Sunday school. They were, you know, steeping themselves in spirit, much like when I was a kid, I went to Sunday school, you know, learned all about the Bible, God, things like that. I want to just say up front, Lisa and I were talking about it. I was raised a Southern Baptist girl. So the Southern Baptist girl may show up, okay? But she, I can keep her in check with our New Thought Ageless Wisdom. Anyway, so these children, the minister wanted to speak to each one of them separately. Okay, so the mom said, okay, sure. So after service, one went in, and so the minister said, where is God? And the child said, and the minister said again, where is God? And the child said, could I go out and talk to my mom about this? The minister said, of course. So the other child came in, and the minister asked the other child the same thing. Where is God? And the other child was like, So then this child also said, could I go out and be with my mother? So they go out, and the two children get together, and one says to the other, you know what? God is missing, and they think we did it. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a way to have a wonderful giggle in spirit? Yeah, so I like to start though with what's this aileron thing about? So aircrafts have three types of moves. Now I will share with you in all transparency that my life has been a life of aviation. For a good part of my adult life, I was an international flight attendant and purser. So my life was about aviation, and I didn't plan it that way, but that's how it turned out. And I got to learn everything. I tried to learn everything I could about flying. No, I was not a pilot. No, I did not want to be a pilot. But I spent a good amount of time in the cockpit learning from our pilots, male and female. So the thing that showed up for me when I was thinking about this is the three moves of any aircraft. And I like to think that it's the three moves on the wings of love. Because the wings of love, we know what love does. I mean, in each one of our lives, love has done miraculous, stupendous, magnificent, splendiferous things in each one of our lives in some way or the other. So the three moves of any aircraft that's in the air, the first move is the pitch. And the pitch changes the altitude with the control wheel. Okay, that's the first one, the pitch. So just try to remember these. The second one is the yaw. The yaw turns the plane with the rudder, you know, and this is not on the taxiway, this is in the air. Okay, that's good. And the third one is the roll, and the roll is what rotates the aircraft, and what does that? The ailerons. The ailerons is what rolls the aircraft, what kind of slithers the aircraft through the sky. If you've ever been on an airplane, you ever been in turbulence, the ailerons are what's working a lot during that time to move through those, what's really just hot air pockets usually. But anyway, so those are the three things, the three moves of any aircraft, and these three things change the airflow and pressure distribution of every single aircraft, whether it's a nice little Cessna or if it's a 380, all the aircraft, that this is part of it. And I'm not saying this is the only thing. I'm making a disclaimer. I am not a mechanic. I am not a pilot. However, these things I have come to know about. So I was thinking, so in what way can that show up in our lives? And before we talk about what way it shows up in our lives, the ailerons are some of the most important part of an aircraft, okay? So I'm thinking, okay, so we have love ailerons, but what in life could be pressuring those love ailerons? What in day-to-day life could pressure those love ailerons? Doubt, fear, hate, prejudice, judgment, unforgiveness, all sorts of things. What else can you think of in your life possibly that may be putting pressure on your love ailerons? Health? Anxiety. Yes. Jealousy. Yes. Love? Love. Yes, yes, yes. Because we know that there is no, I'm not going to say we know. I'm going to speak from the first person. I know there is no duality in spirit. Okay, so if all of these things that we just listed are putting pressure on our love ailerons, then there is a diametrically opposed God quality, spirit quality that also goes along with it. You know, so like if unforgiveness is something that's putting pressure on your own love ailerons, the answer? Forgive. And even more than that, be the vibration of compassion. You know, be the vibration of compassion. So I just use that example that in any activity or anything that we may be experiencing, there is a completely, absolutely God quality that goes along with it because it's all God qualities. So I was being with this and I thought, okay, all right, I like this. So in what ways can I use the three movements of an aircraft in my life? In what way can it work in the life that I'm leading every single day, each one of us leading the life of spirit every single day? And before I go on, I have to say again, thank you so much for that song, I Am the Place Where God Lives. Because it really, if each one of us, when we awaken in the morning and go to the bathroom and stand and look in the mirror, whether it's brushing your teeth, putting your contacts, putting on your face, combing your hair, whatever it is that's happening in the mirror, if each one of us could give ourselves an opportunity to say that, I am the place where God lives. I am the face and place of the divine. I am the space where spirit illuminates and radiates and elucidates itself right here and right now. I mean, just the idea of it. Just close your eyes for a minute and take a breath and let it sink in. And so on the exhale, we can allow ourselves to surrender and release all those other things that may have been programmed into us about who and what we are. You know, I am that I am. I am spirit's most delectable and wondrous and cherished and adored expression of itself. So as we know this and we know that all the answers to all of our questions are within us, as Reverend Michael often says, the question only comes up because the answer is at hand. That's the only reason a question shows up. So the question of how do I use these three aircraft movements in my own life? In what way can I enhance and enrich my spirituality with these three movements? So it showed up for me that these three movements also have spiritual connotations. So the first movement, the pitch is the spiritual stamina. And what do I mean by spiritual stamina? By spiritual stamina, I mean the consciousness that we are. What is my spiritual stamina? Out in the world, out in the places that I go, on the endeavors that I am about, in what ways does spiritual stamina show up in me? And I don't just mean spiritual practices, which I'm sure every single one of you participates with gusto and focus in your spiritual practices. In what way do I have spiritual stamina? I was having a wonderful conversation with Carolyn about heart math. And this is about what heart math is about, too. It's about heart nurturance. In what way might I nurture my own heart? In what way can I be, as Karen Drucker says, treating my own heart and myself like I would a newborn baby child? Yeah. In what way can I be a part of that? In what way do I give that to myself? Because as it said in the reading for the meditation, all love is about self-love. That's where it starts. It starts within ourselves. It's that love that's within ourselves or within ourselves, whichever direction you want to go. So the first part of this, how I can use it in my life, the pitch, is as spiritual stamina. The second way that it can be used in our day-to-day lives, I love the practicality of New Thought Ageless Wisdom. It's not just airy-fairy. It's not just a bunch of verses and stories that I don't understand. It is something that we can actually we can sink our teeth into it, you know? It's juicy. It's delectable. We can really be a part of it. So the second way that I could possibly use in my spiritual life these three wings of love, movements of an aircraft, the second way is the yaw. That's the second part, the yaw, and if we recall, the yaw is the rudder, what turns the rudder. So for the yaw in my life, your life, our lives, the way we can use that is to have tungsten tenacity. Yeah, tungsten steel tenacity. And that tungsten steel tenacity has its beingness, its growth, its foundation in our centeredness, my groundedness, my knowingness of who and what I am. You know, one of the exercises that I like to do, you wouldn't know, but one of the exercises that I like to do for groundedness is every hour on the hour, and I programmed it into my Apple phone, the all-powerful Apple phone, that could do everything, I understand. Every hour on the hour, allow yourself to center. And even if that centeredness is merely saying, I am that I am. Or even if that centeredness every hour on the hour, and if every hour on the hour sounds like if you're saying, ooh, Reverend Rona, that's a lot, girl. That's a lot to try to ease into my life. Okay, every other hour, or maybe breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or I don't know, maybe when you take your medications, if you take your vitamins, whatever, just to know that. And it's just as simple as to get grounded, as simple as being aware of your breathing. Knowing that on the inhale, I am inhaling all of the goodness and the generosity and the gifts of the divine. And on the exhale, I release that no longer serves me. Because really our body's doing that, you know, with the oxygen, the carbon dioxide exchange, all that. That's partially what's happening. Of course, a lot of other miraculous and spectacular blessed things are happening to our cells and atoms and fibers. However, that's a way that we can be grounded, allow ourselves to be grounded. Or centered. You can call it grounded. You can call it centered. Whatever word works best. But this can be the yaw, the part, the rudder that you know, turns our life, that makes the turns, twists and turns in our life. And the third thing, the role. The role, which is, of course, dominated by the all-powerful ailerons, the role can be remembrance resilience. Now, what the heck does that mean, remembrance resilience? In all of our lives, from this moment back and this moment forward, actually, we are being blessed. Remembrance resilience to me means I remember when Spirit has blessed me. And that resilience builds upon itself. Recently, I had an opportunity. I was in London. And I left my hotel at 5:30 in the morning. I was getting on the tube. I was going to Heathrow. I was going on to Nairobi. And so I had my suitcase, which I had hooked my tote bag to, and about three blocks into my walk, I was with my daughter. Three blocks into my walk, my daughter said, Mom, where's your tote bag? I just looked at your suitcase. Mom, where's your tote bag? My tote bag was no longer hooked to my suitcase. So I just took a breath first, knowing that in the midst of it all, God is, and hustled myself back to the hotel. I get back to the hotel, I go inside, and all the way I'm thinking, in the midst of it, God is, I'm centered, I'm grounded. I just have this remembrance, resilience, that Spirit always takes care of me no matter what, in divine right and perfect order. I get back into the hotel, like 3 minutes, 5 minutes, I get back inside the hotel. The night manager is there with my tote bag. Oh, Miss Garland, your tote bag was found on the sidewalk in front of the hotel, and someone brought it in, and we sent you a text and an email. Yeah, remembrance, resilience. Like, that was straight up like, look at what Spirit's doing. I mean, look at what Spirit's doing for me. In that tote bag, I had my passport, I had my wallet, I had my makeup, I had everything that would keep me from going forward on this vacation. So that's what I mean by remembrance, resilience, that we get to remember all the blessings. You know, that remembrance resilience can give us an opportunity to lift the pressure off of our love ailerons, to allow ourselves to know that any pressure that's on those love ailerons, it's already being outbalanced maybe by all the blessings, by all the generosity, by all the gifts that each one of us is in any given moment. You know, I often like to say the first blessing every morning is that I open my eyes and I wake up in a form that I know about. Really, I wake up in a form. My mother was from the South, and she used to say this thing all the time. When people would come visit us, they'd say, "It's good to see you." And she'd say, "Well, it's better to be seen than viewed." Yeah. So every morning when I wake up, I think of my sweet mother because I think, whoa, look at what God did. Woke me up in a way that I can see myself versus someone may have be viewing me. And I only say that because blessings, sometimes I might overlook them, but blessings abound in our lives. They're everywhere. And the blessings start with self-love. They all start with self-love, knowing ourselves, loving ourselves, self-love. So I'd like to share with you a story. But by the way, happy Black History Month. Yeah. And that I love that video. I loved it seeing the second time through. I didn't quite tear up as much. But anyway, I love that video. And I want to share with you a few things about Black History Month. You probably all know about it because Black history is American history. It's not just African American history. It is American history. However, Black History Month, you may not know, began in 1897. And the way it started was with the celebration of Frederick Douglass's birth date. And it was called Negro History Week. That's the name of it. Yeah, that's how it started. And then Carter Woodson carried it on in 1926. Carter Woodson was the second African-American person to get a PhD from Harvard, second only to W.E.B. Du Bois. So Carter Woodson in 1926 said, well, we'd like to have a Negro History Celebration. And so that's how it started, and then it continued on at Kent State, of all places, in the 70s, when some of us were little children. And it went on from there, and then now it's the Black History Month that we know and love. However, when I was thinking about these ways that we can be part of the Wings of Love, ways that I could use the aircraft movement in each one of our spiritual lives, you know, the pitch, the yaw, and the roll, I thought of the Lovings, Mildred and Richard Loving. And you may not know about them, but I do know about them. Mildred and Richard Loving were an interracial couple. And I want to, in all transparency, tell you that when they got married and what was going on with them, it was a big conversation in my home. They got married in 1958, and they got married in the state of Virginia. And in 1958 in the state of Virginia, it was against the law for a Caucasian man and an African-American woman to marry. And how they made this against the law in the state of Virginia, there was a Racial Integrity Act from 1924. I know. The law. And it's still the law of the divine. Anyway, and so they got married. After they got married, they got arrested. And they got sentenced to 1 year in prison. So they appealed, they went to the Supreme Court of the state of Virginia, and they lost. Mm-hmm. So they were able to, somehow, some way, they moved to the Washington, D.C. area, they moved out of the part of Virginia where they were, moved closer to Washington, D.C., and took their case to the U.S. Supreme Court. And when they took their case to the U.S. Supreme Court, they won. And the way they won, yes, the way they won was the Supreme Court said that the lower court's decision was violating the Equal Protection Clause in the 14th Amendment. Now, if you don't know about the 14th Amendment, it was ratified in 1868, and it gave slaves equal citizenship. Up until that point, slaves and African-American people were considered to be three-quarters of a person. Yes. That was it, and we were property. So the Lovings took this all the way through. The Lovings absolutely, positively took this all the way through and went on to live their lives. Well, I believe that the Lovings, what happened for them started with self-love. In any relationship, whether it's spousal relationship, sister's sibling relationship, parent relationship, there must be self-love. There are some of you here that have been in a long-term relationship of love. And that long-term relationship of love, whether it's 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 45, 55 years, starts with self-love. That a relationship only can prosper and thrive and flourish if one loves oneself. You know, the original relationship we have is with ourselves, and that relationship that we have with ourselves is the relationship we have with spirit. I know that might sound harsh, it might sound, I don't know, but that's the way it is, okay? That's just the way it is. And so I believe that Mildred and Richard Loving, which I think is quite apropos, this is truly their surname, Loving. They met one another at church. They met one another at church, and they were drawn to one another, and they courted one another probably in the 50s, 1958, and then they married. So the beginning part of this is that their relationship, I'm sure, was built on a foundation of spirit, and was also built on a foundation of self-love. And also in this relationship that they had, the way they traversed it and navigated this entire relationship is they used all those things. They used spiritual stamina. They had to. They had to use spiritual stamina. They used spiritual stamina because they knew who and whose they were, and they nurtured their hearts and their consciousness, I believe. They did. They had to know. I mean, can you imagine? And I want to tell you this. This story is near and dear to my heart because I was in an interracial marriage. Yeah, I was in an interracial marriage that started in 1990, and we're still friends today. We have two lovely, lovely children that came through it. However, at the time that I decided to get married, my father and mother said to me, "Aren't you grateful that it's not against the law anymore? We're very happy it's not against the law anymore. We don't want you to go to prison because you're in love." Yeah, so that's why this story, I tell it a lot, and it's true, dear to my heart. However, they started with spiritual stamina, and then they went on to the yaw, the movements of the aircraft. They had tungsten tenacity. Can you imagine getting married in 1958, and you had to go to court until 1967 to stay married? Even if you didn't like your spouse, still, I mean, that's a long time. Yeah. So they had tungsten tenacity, and they had tungsten tenacity foundationed in, concretized in their groundedness. Their groundedness in the one, their centeredness in the one. I don't know if they were doing that exercise that I just suggested for us. However, they were being in spirit, no doubt about it. And then the final one, their love ailerons. There's a lot of pressure on their love ailerons. What was rolling them through life, what was getting them through life, a lot of pressure on their love ailerons, and they decided, yes, my, I, they, we, our love ailerons can take the pressure. Because sometimes, if you think about it, perhaps spirit is putting pressure on those love ailerons to create a most magnificent, bespoke, and custom gem that you are, that we are, that I am. You know the whole diamond thing. The diamond starts carbon. Pressure, 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 pressure. You get a 5-carat diamond that you can wear all your life. Or 6 or 8 or 10, whatever. However, the Lovings express those three things, you know? Spiritual stamina. Absolute spiritual stamina. Tungsten tenacity. And remembrance resilience. And that remembrance resilience, which is the love aileron part, is I am sure that every day of their lives they had to remember the ways that they had been blessed or that they were being blessed and to know that all these things that are happening are an opportunity for expansion. All this stuff that was happening to them, opportunity for expansion, all those things we listed before, jealousy, anxiety, doubt, hate, prejudice, all those things are an opportunity. Spirit is saying, my beloved in whom I am well pleased, this is your opportunity for expansion. It's in you. I know that it's in you because I am in you and you are in me. So that it's an opportunity for expansion. It's an opportunity to feel the feelings. And you know, I have to tell you, I agree with you. In our humanness, sometimes stepping into the feelings and saying in there, it's a little scary. It's a little dark. It's a little upsetting. However, We are all equipped with everything that we could ever need to step into the feelings, to be in the centeredness, to be in the groundedness, to be in the spiritual stamina, to make it through to the other side. We all have it. It's in us, and all we need to do is open. That's all we need to do is open. We just open, and we can use these three steps that Spirit happened to flow through me, which is spiritual stamina, tungsten tenacity, and remembrance resilience. So you're probably thinking, ooh, I like this. This is good. I hope you're thinking that. and so you're thinking, and how's that working in her life? Okay, so I actually had an opportunity recently to go to Mother Africa, and I went to Kenya, and I went with no expectation, and I got there, and makes me tear up. I realized that being there was quenching a thirst that I didn't know I had. That as who and what I am, that this was the homeland for me. And I want to say that my daughter already did 23andMe for our family, and that most of the people in my family, ancestors that I don't know, we have no paperwork for, were slaves that came from Nigeria. However, here I was in Kenya, the other side of Africa, and it was magical and mystical and wonderful. And I want to share with you what happened for my soul. However, it's not just my soul. While I was there, I was at a conference. We went on a safari. We went on a tour. And we went to the Rift Valley. And some of you may know about the Rift Valley, which is where civilization began. So the Rift Valley, which you're not allowed to go down into, but we were above it, I realized it's where we all started. It's where we all started. It doesn't really make a difference on what's on the outside skin color, because it's where we all started, that they hypothesized that's where Lucy, the first being, was. Okay, so I was in Kenya, and so I was going to a conference, a Centers for Spiritual Living Kenya conference, and I was asked to be a presenter. I was so excited. It's like, and a half a year ago, I said, oh, yeah, I'll go to the conference. Then later, they asked me to be a presenter. So I get there, and the keynote speaker of the conference is Brother Ishmael Tete. I don't know if you know about him, but he's from Accra, Ghana, and he is very well known all over the planet for what he does, which is speaker and changing people's lives, transformational expert, and things like that. So I go, the first day was when I got to present. I was blessed. I felt that way. We had a morning presentation. Afternoon, I'm going to present. I'm all ready. I'm prayed up. I say, okay, Spirit, I'm ready to do what I do, be what I be. Just open my mouth and let you talk. So I get up there, and I realize just before I'm starting that Brother Ishmael Tete, who is kind of an idol to me, like when I saw him in the morning at breakfast, I said to him, I'm fangirling you. I can't believe I'm here with you. And I thought because he was the keynote speaker, he was going to speak like at the end of the conference, like it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, on Sunday morning. I get to the hall. I have my notes. I get ready to go up there, and Brother Ishmael Tete is there in the audience. He's going to listen to me. Yeah, so what did I do? These three things showed up for me. The pitch, the yaw, and the roll. First, I remembered my spiritual stamina, that I am here simply for God. I've forgotten who I was talking to earlier and saying that even when I was 5 years old, as I told you, I was raised a Baptist girl, and I was raised in a family that we went to church, as my parents said, whenever the church doors open, we're there. Okay, so I was there a lot. And when I was 4 and 5 years old, I used to tell people, you know what? I think I'm only here because of God. I'm here because I love God. And my parents, we used to get very embarrassed. They would say, Verona, stop that. However, that was in me, and I drew upon that. Like, I got in touch with little Verona, and then I was like, okay, you have the spiritual stamina, girlfriend. You are what you are. You have the spiritual stamina and the consciousness. The second thing, the yaw, which was, I have tungsten tenacity about spirit. I am here only to serve God. I will go anywhere. I will do anything to serve God. Honestly, I will. Honestly. So I realized that. And then the final thing, the love ailerons, I was like, yay, Spirit, you're putting some pressure on my love ailerons so that I can remember to love me, that I can remember the self-love of the divine that I am, because I am merely the instrument. I am strictly the vessel. I am the container for what Spirit wants others to know through me and in the way that I bring it. So I use those three things. I get up on stage, and as I get up there, it's like, hey, Brother Tay-Tay, how you doing? And so really, it was wonderful. It was great. It worked out. However, I realized that these three things that may seem like a lot, I just click through them like in two or three minutes' time. Because I'm there, I'm going up. So I just want to ask you, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's back up a little, okay? just think about it. Your love ailerons, what sort of pressure would you like them to take? Okay, your love ailerons. And the other thing is, could it be that Spirit is making a magnificent, splendiferous, fabulicious expression of itself as you and as me? Could it be? And can your self-love, the love that you have for yourself, lead the way, light your path of opportunity, divine devotion, and adoration? Now, I want to ask you again. I'm going to do like I did before, so it's like you're going to get a new me. Are you ready?
Yes!
And I'd like to close with, and now these three remain. You probably all know this. Faith, hope, and love from 1 Corinthians. But the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. I am so grateful. I am so grateful to know, to understand, to accept, and to realize that there is one power, one presence, one essence, one substance, the allness and the isness of the galaxies, the cosmos, the planets, and so much more. How wonderful it is to remember and to recognize in the knowingness that I am what God is. Each one of us is what God is. Each one of us is the place and space where God shows up. Each one of us is loved and adored and cherished by the divine. And so I, Verona, now speak the word, and I declare and know and claim and name that the self-love within, through, and as each one of us makes a way where there seems to be no way, that it absolutely gives us spiritual stamina, tungsten tenacity, and absolute love aileron of viability, visibility, dexterity, fluidity, and so much more. I declare it right here and right now that as we each step into the willingness of the truth of who and what we are, that we bring our talents, our gifts, and our skills in focus, in love, in joy, in glee, in guidance, and in grace for the enhancement of, the growth of, and the unfoldment of the planet. I give thanks for each one of these words spoken. I give thanks for all the blessings made possible as a result of our co-creating here together this day. I give thanks for it all, and I release it with a grateful heart into the place and space of the Christ consciousness, the place and space of the infinitude of all possibilities of the divine, into the law, and so it is. Amen. Ashe. Aho.